Today on More to Life, saying goodbye. Are you grieving? Whether you've lost a loved one or you're sad about a change you've had to make in your life, let us help you find the next steps toward healing. 877-573-7825. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Saying Goodbye. We're talking about grieving today. You know, are you experiencing grief? Whether you've lost a loved one or you're struggling with a change that you've had to make or go through in your life, we want to help you find the next steps toward healing. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
And of course, this is about any kind of loss, any kind of grief. And there's so much of that. And some of it, of course, comes with if we have lost a loved one. But there are many parents right now going through the grief of having children preparing to go far away, leaving people who are going through job loss. There are lots of ways that we can go through grief. So are you experiencing grief or loss in any area of your life? Are you struggling with the passing of that loved one? Whether a parent or a grandparent, a spouse, a child, family member, or close friend, losing someone can feel like losing a part of ourselves. It can be hard to know how to cope. Of course, as I was saying, we also grieve when we go through other losses. Maybe the job loss that I mentioned, or experiencing that empty nest, because for a lot of us, it's coming faster than we'd like, or we've been going through it. Maybe you've experienced the loss of your health or mobility. Grief is present in all kinds of loss, as are the feelings of anger, sadness, anxiety, and confusion that can come along with that grief. If you're experiencing grief related to any kind of loss or change, let us help you take the next steps toward healing.
And again, that number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions in via email. And that address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com. Of course, if you're listening live, we love hearing your voice and being able to take your questions directly, so give us a call. That number again is 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be wondering, well, what is that? Well, St. John Paul gave a series of reflections on how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation, especially his design of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that although grief and loss are a part of life in this fallen world, God never meant for us to experience grief or loss. And he intends to restore all the things to us when we are one with him. Dr. Claudia Wolf, the author of The Grieving Brain, wrote that when a loved one dies, we can feel that we've lost part of ourselves because their presence is coded into our neurons. The theology of the body argues that biology is theology. The fact that God designed our bodies in such a way that people who share our lives literally become a part of us points to the ultimate reality of the communion of saints and the reunion we hope to enjoy in heaven. We were created for communion in this life and the next.
You know, the world tells us that loss, whether it's the loss of a job, a relationship, our health, or a loved one, is an ending. But seen through the eyes of faith, loss represents a promise of God's mercy, providence, and abundance. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be consoled, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:4. In our broken world, the most natural response to loss is to give up, to settle. You know, but God wants us to approach loss differently. He wants us to see Him, not the world, as the source of all good gifts. And nothing is ever really lost to someone who loves God. Whatever it is that we think is lost to us, whether that's our ability to provide for our needs or the people we care about, the situations or people we depend on, if we turn to God and ask Him how He wants us to respond to that loss, He will not only provide for our needs, He'll show us how to fill up the hole that can be left inside. So let's talk today about grief on our show titled Saying Goodbye. Are you experiencing grief from any kind of loss, whether that's the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job or a role, the loss of health or mobility? Grief is present in all kinds of loss, as are the feelings of anger and sadness and anxiety and confusion that come along with it. And when we have those feelings, sometimes we even feel guilty about it. Because, you know, as Christians, you know, are we supposed to feel those things, especially about this? You know, shouldn't we be glad that that person is in heaven and all those kinds of things? But if you're experiencing any difficulties related to any kind of loss or change, we want to help you take those next steps toward healing. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you all those situations where we are struggling with grief or loss. It can be hard to know how to fill that hole or to heal that hurt that's left when we lose someone we care about, or we lose a position, a job, we go through a change in life where we experience loss. And so we bring all that pain to you now, Lord, and we ask you to teach us how to respond to it in ways that allow us to connect with your grace and hold on to your hope. We ask you to help us to see grief as a promise of your mercy, as a promise that you desire to heal us, so that we can experience the blessing of those who mourn and be comforted through your grace. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, our show is titled Saying Goodbye. We're talking about grief. Are you grieving? Whether you've lost a loved one or you're struggling with a change you've had to make in your life, something that you've lost, we want to help you find the next steps toward healing. Give us a call. Again, the number 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Therese, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hi, Therese. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, thank you. So I lost my dad last May, and I had my mom move from Africa to live with me. But since she's moved with me in October, it's been a little bit difficult because she's somebody that kind of like controlling. And so when you don't do what she wants to do, it's just like, oh, you're either attacked by evil spirit. And, you know, she kind of like use prayer to manipulate us and stuff like that. So recently I had to move out from my own house because I was feeling a lot of emotional stress, because the last time she accused me of being possessed by evil spirit, I really thought I was possessed by evil spirit. So I went to adoration. I was just like, I thought I was gonna fall because I wasn't sure if it was
This is very difficult.
So, Chris, tell us, how can we help you now? What's going on now that we can kind of coach you through?
So it happened again because she wanted me to do something that I didn't agree. So right now in the family chat, they started a novena prayer to deliver me from evil spirits. So I move out from my own house that I pay just so I can I can be okay. So this morning, my sister called me that, and she sent me a voice note that my mom was crying, and she said that I need to come back and stuff like that. And I'm not okay. So I guess what I'm asking you guys is, like, how do I set boundary? And did I do the right thing of just kind of like cutting off with her for the time being? And by the way, I'm 33, and I've lived away from her for a long time. And she still lives in my house and stuff like that.
Andrews, just for the sake of the rest of the listeners who might have concerns about, you know, what your mother is saying, you are a devout woman. You are you're going to Mass. You're participating in the sacraments. You went to adoration. Yeah. So there's nothing in your life where your mother could say there's something spiritually off in your quest to be a good Catholic.
This is manipulative. Yeah. Tress, okay. Let me ask you, is there any other, you said she's living in your home. You own this house that you've moved your mom into, yeah, and now you've moved out of your home. Where are you living?
I'm living with my cousin for the time being.
Is there someplace else for your mom to go?
You see, that's the issue, because I've talked to my family to just figure out her living situation. But if she has to move out, then we have to pay the rent or something like that, because my sister and my mom are both living in my house, so nobody has said anything. And I've been helping bringing her to the hospital since she moved in with me, but nobody want to take lead. So that's why I move out, because she doesn't have a place to stay at, and I didn't want to kick her out. You know, I don't know. That's the situation.
Okay, so a couple of things on this. Now, I can't work out the practical aspect of where they're going to go, your mom and your sister. But you are absolutely right in setting boundaries. What your mom is doing is spiritual abuse.
Abuse, absolutely, right? Positively.
And spiritual abuse is when we use spiritual tools and language to manipulate somebody else. And that is a very gravely serious sin. God does not want us to use him or the tools of our faith to manipulate others or to set ourselves up as idols, which is what your mom and, you know, any other family member who's participating in this are doing, right? Because when I use the tools of the faith as a way of manipulating you into doing what I want you to do, I'm asking you to obey me rather than what God wants. And I'm using those tools of the faith to exalt myself rather than God. That is a very grave, very serious sin. And so you are absolutely right to set whatever boundaries you need to set to protect yourself from that. I would suggest to you on a practical level that while it is good for you to want to take care of your mom, she doesn't have to be under your roof for you to do that. In fact, you don't personally have to be responsible for it at all. If it's possible for you to, if financially possible for you to hire other caregivers, we as children do owe our parents that responsibility of making sure that they are cared for. But unfortunately, in our fallen world, sometimes our parents can be toxic people, and it can be very painful and unsafe even to be around them for any extended period of time. So we can fulfill that obligation to see to their health and well-being by making sure that they are cared for, even if we cannot be the ones to do that caring. So, Therese, I want to encourage you to continue to set the boundaries that you've set, and perhaps set even more if you're able to find some other place for your mom and your sister to live. They might not want to cooperate with that. That's not their choice. This is your home that God has given to you. And anybody who lives in your home has an obligation, even as we have an obligation to be generous to others, the people to whom we are generous have an obligation to be respectful to us in return and to honor the gift we've given them by working for our good, too. And your mom, at least, and it sounds like some other family members, are not willing to do that. And so you have every right to insist that they find some other place and even make that happen to the degree that it is possible. But yes, the short answer to your question is you're doing the right thing by setting boundaries, and I want you to have the courage to set those boundaries even stronger.
Now, the only other thing that I will add to what I absolutely agree with Greg is saying dead on is that if you happen to be in a decently close relationship with a priest in your life, since you attend the sacraments, you're a practicing Catholic, you might want to see if a priest is willing to go with you to your house and tell your mother that what she's saying is not healthy and not good and she needs to stop. Your mother may respect that. If a priest says, your daughter is walking in grace with God, and you are inviting things in that aren't healthy here, and you are demeaning your daughter, and you are not being grateful. If you could find a priest that you are close to, don't go to some stranger, because he won't know how to handle this. But if you have a priest that you know and you're close to, he might be willing to call your mother on to better behavior. But you ultimately, because this is her pattern, you know, if she was abusive in any other way, emotionally abusive, physically abusive, you'd know it's a long-standing thing and it would be hard for her to break that pattern. It will be hard for her to break this too. And so you owe it to yourself to be in a emotionally, spiritually, and physically safe environment. And you very much will need to set those boundaries as well.
Therese, thank you so much for the call. I know that you're going to be grieving this relationship with your mother and grieving the relationship you wish you could have with your mom. But the choices that you're making here about setting boundaries are absolutely appropriate and necessary. And I want to commend you on being that prophetic woman of God, even though it's been scary and hard. And I want to offer you whatever support we can in your continued efforts to do that. So if you'd like additional support in your work here to stand up for yourself and be that godly woman in this situation, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Again, that's CatholicCounselors.com to work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor who can help you stand strong in the face of this spiritual abuse. 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls today on our show titled Saying Goodbye. We're talking about grief. Are you grieving for some reason, whether it's having lost a loved one or going through a change in your life that you're having to make or have had to make that has left you sad and bereft? We want to help you find the next steps toward healing. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. We'll be back with your calls coming up right after the break.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, why don't you air these people? And I said, no, because I don't think they're Catholic. He says, by what right do you have to say that? I said, I own the network.
Mother Angelica Live Classics. Tonight, 8 Eastern on EWTN Television and Radio.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience. 17,000 current students. Pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this. Two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Saying Goodbye as we talk about grief. Whether you've lost a loved one or you're sad about a change that you've had to make in your life, we want to help you find the next steps toward healing. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Joan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Louisiana on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Joan. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hello. Good morning. I recently lost my beautiful 91-year-old father on this past Saturday, and we start services today for him. And I'm in a lot of grief right now.
Of course.
And so is my family. I know that my father is 91, and he lived a long, beautiful, devout, faithful life. But I had so much grief because of my father being so devout. You know, he would wear his brown scapula daily. He has a devotion to the Divine Mercy. He has a devotion to the three Hail Marys. He has, you know, devotions to the Rosary and Mary,
sure.
And, you know, consecrating his home daily.
Can you help me understand, though, why you're saying that's making your grief worse? Why is that a source of greater grief instead of a comfort for you?
And I want you to know that I have the same devotions as my father. And when he went into the hospital on Saturday, he forgot his brown scapula at home because we had to call 911. Mm-hmm. And he was not able to receive his last sacrament by a priest because everything just transpired so quickly.
I understand.
And I know how devout my dad was. And I held on to those promises. And it scared me that my dad didn't have the things he needed when he left this earth. But I knew that he was a holy man, and I felt like the devil was trying to attack me all day Saturday.
And that's exactly what it's.
That's exactly what's happening, John. Let me jump in here. You're listening to
pure lies.
Yeah.
All right. All of this. God doesn't go by minute rules. He goes by mercy, and you know that because of your father's devotion and your devotion to the Divine Mercy.
There is a saying in the church: grace supplies.
Yeah.
Right? Grace supplies. What that means is that, yes, there are certain structures that either Christ has created or that God has built or that the church recommends that help us stay connected with God and help us draw closer to God. But sometimes, for the kinds of circumstances that you described, it's not possible for us to access those things or to make use of those things. But in those instances, grace supplies. God is not bound by his sacraments or his sacramentals. God's mercy is superabundant. We use those things that are available to us to draw closer to him, and he creates those things for us to have channels of grace that allow us to stay connected to him. But he's not bound by those things. And your father's devotion, you know, those things are not magical talismans that you have to keep with you in order for them to work, right?
Exactly.
There's no expiration date on those things. The fact that he was devoted to God through those spiritual practices continue to be efficacious. They continue to be instruments of grace in his life. They continue to allow him to stay connected to God. And while we wish that we could have all those resources available to us at all times, even when we can't have them, God is present and he supplies the grace that's necessary to make up for the lack in us or in the things that are around us. So, Joan, you know, the reason we jumped on this is because the enemy is really whispering in your spiritual ear and trying to torment you with the very natural grief you are having about the passing of your dad. But I want you to know, without a shadow of a doubt, that your father, who spent his life loving God and being devoted to God, is loved by God. And God's mercy is superabundant and can cover not just a multitude of sins, but a multitude of circumstances that seek to prevent us from him. So I want you to be of great courage and know that God loves you, that God loves your father, and that God has provided all the grace that's necessary to make up for anything that was missing in his passing. I want to thank you, Joan, for the call. I want to let you know that we've added your dad and your whole family to our More to Life prayer list, but I do want you to go forward, you know, being consoled and encouraged, knowing that God loves you, he loves your dad, he is faithful to your dad's faithfulness, and that he supplies the grace that your dad needs to be exactly where God wants him to be. Joan, thank you so much for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. 877-573-7825. You know, again, we have we have, you know, these resources, whether they're the sacraments that Christ instituted or they're sacramentals that the church gives us, that help us to stay connected to God and serve as both reminders and efficacious signs of grace in the case of sacramentals, that keep us connected to God and allow us to experience that grace more fully in our lives. But God is not bound by his sacraments, and God, because he made them, right? And so he can use other means to reach us. The church teaches us that. He's certainly not bound by sacramentals, which are useful signs of grace, little reminders, little occasions of grace in our day. But again, they're tools, and God uses those tools, but his mercy and his grace go far beyond that. And so, yes, we should rely on all the tools that are available to us to stay connected to God, to receive his grace, to experience his mercy and love and consolation. But when we don't have access to those things, even a sacrament, for example, in Joan's dad's case, because of the urgent nature of the health crisis that precipitated his death, God is still present, and he loves us, and he is still providing grace supplies. We're taking your calls today about grieving, and grief can be related to the loss of a loved one. It can also relate to those times when we go through other losses, whether that's a job loss, experiencing an empty nest, experiencing the loss of our health or mobility, or many other things as well. You know, grief is present in all kinds of loss, as are the feelings of anger or sadness or anxiety or confusion that often come along with it, even guilt. And if you're experiencing grief related to any kind of loss or change, we want to help you take the next steps toward healing. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
So many studies over the past 60 years show a connection between abortion and increased risk of breast cancer, depression, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, a breakdown in relationships. Women, when they do eventually decide to have children after they've had an abortion, there's a bonding issue with the children. And yet many of those studies are pushed aside, and the studies that are embraced are the studies that are done by the people with so much to gain, claiming that all these pregnancies through rape occurred all because Roe v. Wade was overturned. And yet, if you look at the roots of that study, every single author involved was connected to the abortion industry. And that's not journalism, that's propaganda, that's advocacy.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
What responsibility does social media bear in promoting the truth? The Catholic Catechism notes that in our modern society, the communications media plays a major role in societal information, cultural promotion, and formation. Since society has a right to information that is based on truth, justice, freedom, and solidarity, every segment of the communications culture bears a heavy responsibility for the common good. Media content within the bounds of justice and charity must be true and complete and communicated honestly and properly. The Catechism cautions us to be vigilant rather than passive consumers of information in order to resist unwholesome influences. Journalists are urged to respect the facts while still observing charity by not stooping to defamation of individuals. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Do you want to influence your adult kids? Make sure that the relationship you have is deep enough to contain the conversations you're trying to have. Sometimes a relationship, though pleasant, can be too small to comfortably fit the big questions we want to discuss. Trying to have deep conversations in a shallow relationship is like buying a couch that's twice as big as your living room. It might be a great couch, but trying to make it fit is going to be awkward at best. This is why it's so important to work harder on your relationship with your adult kids than on the things you want to say to them. The more you focus on building a deep and loving relationship with your adult kids, the more likely they'll be to accept you as a mentor. To learn more, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled Saying Goodbye, as we talk about grief and loss. Whether you've lost a loved one or you're sad about a change you've had to make in your life or a change that's been thrust upon you, we want to help you find those next steps toward healing. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
And we're so grateful that so many of us are able to be here to help every single day. And a lot of that is due to the fact that there are some wonderful EWTN radio family members who are out there making it happen every single day. We want to give congratulations to Our Lady of Perpetual Help Radio in Iowa City, who's celebrating 20 years with EWTN.
And also Covenant Network with an amazing 42 stations in 5 states, marking 27 years with us. Congratulations to Greg Hamilton in Iowa City and Tony and Teresa Holman in St. Louis-based Covenant Network from your friends here at EWTN. And remember, folks, wherever you're tuning in, please support your local Catholic EWTN radio station so that we can keep supporting you through all the challenges we all face as we try to live our faith in the face of difficult circumstances. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about grief and loss today on More to Life. Whether you've lost a loved one and are struggling, or you've had to go through a change that either was choice by necessity or just forced upon you, your grief and loss are difficult parts of life. We want to help you find those next steps toward healing. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Karen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana, streaming on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Karen. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you today?
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. 3 years ago in 2021, I lost my beloved husband of 37 years, and I did not get any family support whatsoever. 2 years ago, I lost my dad. And I don't know, my mother had always been a very loving, giving mother. She was a stay-at-home mom. She was always there for me. She had been always deep in her faith. But with all this loss that had happened, when my father died, my mother just completely shunned me.
When you say shunned you, was there anger involved in this, or did she just pull into herself and wasn't present in your life because of her own grief? Tell us what that would look like.
She said that that her other two children who live near her, and I live like 3 hours away, she said that they are the ones that are helping her with my dad, as far as him having dementia and having to go into a care facility and hospice and everything. And, you know, I did the best I could to support, you know, during my own grief.
Sure.
Via, you know, phone call or whatever. And, When I found out my dad was on his deathbed, I did take a trip up there, and my sister and my mother told the nurse that I wasn't allowed to see my dad on his deathbed, and the nurse said that they can't do that, and so I was able to spend time with my dad. And when my dad did pass away and we had his funeral, my sister would not speak to me. My mother would not speak to me at all. When I went to hug her, she pulled away. And it felt like I lost another parent. It felt like,
sure,
like she literally like murdered me, is what I felt. I never felt so abandoned in all my life. And the thing is, now that it's approaching 2 years, I need to find some sort of closure, because I don't think she'll ever call me up, you know, because I have reached out with cards and everything, and she never acknowledges me.
And you don't have any idea, because it sounds to me like this predates the passing of your father, because
yeah.
you said that your family wasn't there for you when you lost your husband. So there's a long-standing...
Right.
There's a long-standing issue here in your family, in your relationship with your mom and your sister.
Yes, I think some of it stems, you know, like a small part of it stems from like my daughter and my sister's daughter, you know, got into something on social media, you know, got angry at each other or whatever. I didn't want any part of that. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't care. I mean, I was dealing
sure.
with a lot of grief. And,
no, I understand. And there are healthy ways to respond to that and unhealthy ways. And it sounds like your mother and your sister have chosen some very unhealthy yeah. ways of dealing with that. So how can we help you today? You're saying that you want closure here. So what does that mean
yes.
to you?
How do I find closure and peace? Because, you know, chances are my mother will never reconcile with me. So I need
Let me ask you, how would you know if you had closure? How would you know it if you had it? What would that look like to you?
I don't know.
Okay.
Let's
talk a little bit about that
then.
Yeah, no, well, okay, so, you know, a lot of times people think that closure means I would feel okay about it, or I'd feel better about it, or, you know, I'd feel happy about it, you know, and of course that's not going to happen. This is a real offense, right? You know, we're supposed to be able to count on our family to be there for us. In thick and thin. And, you know, sure, families go through difficult things. They have, you know, maybe conflicts, stuff happens. But there are healthy ways to deal with those offenses and healthy ways to deal with those conflicts. And there are unhealthy ways of dealing with that. And when family members, especially close family members, choose unhealthy or even cruel ways of dealing with their pain, then we suffer. And the Catechism even talks about how it is not within our power to not feel or to forget an offense. But then it goes on to talk about how through intercession, through prayer, we can transform those feelings into intercession and compassion. I think getting closure would mean a couple of things. First of all, I think it's okay to be angry about this. It's okay to be hurt about it. It's a hurtful thing. It's an unjust thing that you're experiencing. And it's reasonable to be hurt and angry about it. But what you want to be focusing on are a couple of things. First of all, focusing on the supports you have in your everyday life, you know, the supports you can get from the people who love you, the people that you see every day. And if you don't have those strong relationships, really seeking to build those connections, of looking for ways you can make a difference in the lives of others, being more involved in your parish and your community. And the more you're able to kind of make those social connections and draw strength from those connections and draw grace from the fact that you are being a gift to others is a big part of letting this go. So that's number one. I think really focusing in on the relationships that you have and the opportunities that God is giving you to cultivate relationships and cultivate the opportunity to be a gift. I'd also encourage you to continue to lift them up in prayer. Recognizing that even though we might not be able to fix this relationship in this life, that God is still present here. And, you know, by continuing to work for their good, by asking for God to teach you how to respond to this and to bless them in whatever ways they're open to his blessing, is a way that you can continue to work for their good and exercise that forgiveness. You know, forgiveness doesn't mean saying that everything that these people did to me is okay. It means surrendering our desire to hurt them for having hurt us. And by continuing to bring those people who hurt us to God, you know, we're able to transform those feelings of hurt into feelings of compassion, where we can not agree with what they've done, or not even say that what they've done is correct, but understand that what they've done is rooted in their own pain and their unhealthy ways of dealing with it, which allows us to move on. So closure, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag, frankly. You know, we talk a lot about it, but it's not something that most people can get in the sense of just feeling like, well, that's fine. It's more something that we cultivate by building strong connections of support with the people that we have around us instead of the other people that aren't willing to be supportive to us or who are toxic.
And that can bring us to a place where over time, as we build that support, as we have a fuller life, that we can say, I love my mother and my sister, or whatever family member who's going through something that doesn't allow them to love the way we deserve to be loved. But we can say, I know that we're probably all better off having this distance, at least for now, at least until people have worked on their stuff enough, or till the next life and God's grace kicks in heaven and we become part of the communion of saints. But living as fully as you can with building those other relationships, especially your relationship with God, where you're asking him to be your family. You're asking him to heal your heart. You're asking him to heal your mother and your sister from their pain. All of this will begin step by step to put you in a place where you feel like where you're at is healthier than where you would be if you kept pursuing them and sort of banging your head against a wall for them to give you something that they're not capable of giving you right now.
If there's more ways that we can support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here, or by all means reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about faithful ways you can pursue that greater healing in your own life. But Karen, thank you so much for the call, and I hope that the suggestions we've made here will at least get you started. And we're taking your calls on our show titled Saying Goodbye, as we talk about grief and loss today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. If you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still send your questions in via email to questions@moretoliferadio.com. But as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 4.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
You know, again, a reminder that that grief and that loss and the pain that we experience, if we bring that to God, God will teach us how to respond to it in ways that enable us to heal and to feel his presence in our lives and enable us to move forward. We are continuing to take your calls at 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back with more of your calls right after the break.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live streamed or broadcast mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
The Encounter Conference, June 26th through the 28th at the New Glass City Center in Toledo, Ohio. 15 powerful speakers.
It is the encounter with the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus come alive and gives us the courage and the wisdom to go forth and to even risk our own lives.
Everyone pretty much says the miracles that Jesus did are real. The miracles that the early church did are real.
As often as the popes are talking about the new evangelization, they're also saying we need to pray for a new Pentecost. We need to return to the upper room. Encounter represents the church returning to the upper room. As we're coming boldly before God and asking him to renew that Pentecostal fire for the strength, the gifts, and the wisdom to be able to preach Jesus to a lost and broken world, so that we can become fully alive in him, so that the world may come to believe that Jesus is the one whom God sent.
Register today at EncounterConference.org. That's EncounterConference.org.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Saying Goodbye, as we talk about grief and loss and how to find the healing that come that God wants to give us after that pain. 877-573-7825. Of course, we're here to support you today and every day on EWTN. In addition, though, EWTN offers a lot of great resources, including the Laudate app. That's L-A-U-D-A-T-E, Laudate. You can listen to EWTN radio live stream there, along with a lot of other great Catholic content. Check it out. Open the Laudate app, then click on EWTN so that we can continue supporting you in all the ways that God is giving us through technology. With that, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk to Tamara, who's listening to EWTN Radio in West Virginia on St. Paul Radio.
Hi, Tamara. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Oh, good morning. I am a very grateful revert to the faith. About 18 years ago, I came back, and major part of that was EWTN. I saw this cute praise little God. Nun on TV and thought, I think I should listen to her. I think she's right.
Yep.
Well, 2011, on October 8th, we lost, my husband and I lost our amazing 26-year-old son, and my daughter and my other son lost their big brother.
Sure.
And I want to say, I was never mad at God or felt like I'd been mistreated or unloved for a second, and I am grateful for that. And I, you know, of course, I was heartbroken, and I would have done anything to get him back, but I just had to accept it. It was like God's, I heard Jesus saying to me, it's okay, I got him, he's with me now. Mm-hmm. And there were
that's a very special grace.
Yeah, I felt that, and there were many other things that happened to circumstances and situations that I just felt the presence of God and the love of Jesus that was with me. And, you know, when things like this happen, it puts you in a position of ministry, because there were 500 people at the funeral, and I ended up comforting them because they didn't know what to say to me. And I mm-hmm. just kept saying over and over again, he's safe now, he's safe, he's safe. And my friends were watching me, my students were watching me, my family. And, you know, you just have to put yourself in the right position to accept these type of things and go on.
Tamara, this might sound like an odd question, yeah. but if you don't mind asking, do you feel like you found ways to stay connected to your son even though he's passed?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Because I'm still his mother. And when I get to heaven, he's going to be there waiting for me. And we have now God gives back twice as much. We have a grandson who looks just like my son, the same blonde hair. Yeah. And not just me or my husband that thinks so. I can't tell you how many people said, oh my gosh, he looks just
sure.
like his late son.
And so in some ways you kind of keep that connection to your son through your
you
grandson
see those
as well.
Moments of God in your son.
The reason I asked that question, Tamara, is because I wanted to sort of share this with our listeners today about grief, and this is the first opportunity I've really had to do that. Grieving is not the process of letting go. It's the process of finding ways to stay connected to the person that we've lost. When somebody has resolved their grief, they've not figured out a way to forget about that person or to not have that person be part of their lives. They've found ways to still feel connected to that person, either because of the things that that person taught them, the virtues that person exhibited that are still part of them, the certain habits or joys that that person enjoyed in life that now we share, the memories, going through grief is really the process of finding ways, healthy ways to stay connected to the person who's gone. And so anybody who's listening today who is going through grief or loss, ask yourself, you know, how can I stay connected to the lessons that person taught me or the things I got from that experience? How can I stay connected to them in some way, spiritually or tangibly? Because the more ways we have to build healthy connection with that person, the more able we will be to deal gracefully with grief.
And I so much appreciate your call today, Tamara, because when you're saying he's safe now and you're still his mother and you'll be connected again in heaven, you're speaking to a very important truth. that I was very, very blessed to have my oldest child once ask the amazing Mike Aquilina, who was over our house for dinner. He's an amazing writer. He's written so many books. Many of our listeners are very familiar with Mike from both his books and his EWTN appearances. And our son had said, he was quite young, probably 8 or 9 years old, and he had said to Mike, how do you deal with the fact that we're supposed to be happy because somebody's in heaven, but we're still in pain and grieving the loss of that person? And Mike put it so simply, and it stuck with me all of these years, when he said to our son, we weren't made for death. We were made for life. It was the fall that brought death into our humanity. And so we can have both at the same time. We can have that joy that you're talking about where, yes, our loved one is with the Lord, and we have a sure and certain hope if we pursue our faith in Christ that we will be with them. But we can also feel that break, because it's a break from the beginning of who we are as human beings in the fall. We weren't meant for this. So you can feel the pain of that rending of that relationship, that having to wait for that connection again, that loss, that sorrow, that pain, at the same time that we can have that sure and certain hope, that we can feel that grace from God. One of the things I think we need to do with that knowledge, though, is to bring it to Christ. And I think you've done that, where you say, this is painful, this is awful, but I want you in it now. I want you, Lord, to come into it with your grace, with your peace. Give me the mind to comprehend that you're here, that you're walking with us even through this. Give me the consolations I need. It is okay, more than okay, to ask God for those things. If others who are listening today didn't get that infusion of the Holy Spirit the way you did in that moment, or if you go through times when it's difficult, because we are not meant for the death and separation that we have to experience because of the fall. But with Christ and his grace, we can endure. We can make sense of it until we are all one again in eternal life.
As we're wrapping up the program today, the thing I want you all to hold on to is that whatever your experience is of grief is your experience. I don't want you to feel guilty for any of the feelings that you might have about the anger that you have, the frustration, the fear, the whatever it is. You know, we often, as Christians, tell ourselves that we should feel this about it, and we beat up on ourselves for feeling what we feel. Instead, what we want to do is exactly what Lisa was describing, and consecrate those feelings to God by bringing him into them. Yeah. Even if we're angry at him for taking that person away or putting us through the thing we're going through, consecrate that anger at God to God by bringing him into it and saying, Lord, I'm so angry with you, or I'm struggling so much, or I don't
so
feel
confused.
Your presence.
Whatever those are, those feelings.
Bring God into the feelings and ask him to teach you how to deal with them in ways that enable you to glorify him, to be your best self, and to work for the good of everybody else that might be involved. Because the more you can pray about it that way, the more God will teach you, step by step, how to respond to the grief that you're experiencing. Secondly, as I was mentioning, grief is not the process of letting go. It's the process of finding ways to stay connected to the person that you've lost. One of those important ways is continuing to talk to them. You know, those Christians who are asleep in Christ are every bit as alive in them, in some ways more so than we are.
And just as we can, you know, ask for the intercession of St. Anthony or the Blessed Mother or St. Joseph or the myriad of saints that we can talk to throughout the day, knowing they are rooting for us and praying for us and encouraging us, we can do that with the people that we love who have gone on before us as well.
And when we do that, you know, we maintain that spiritual connection and the hope of the reunion that comes with the communion of saints in the next life. So those are important ways that we as Christians can stay connected to the people that have gone on. So if you are struggling with grief or loss, and especially if you're having a hard time finding ways to stay connected and resolve the difficult feelings that you're having, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can help you find faithful solutions to all of these difficult circumstances and so much more. So if you're looking for faithful help for the struggles you're facing, either related to grief or loss or any other challenge that you face as a Christian person living your life, we want to be there for you. CatholicCounselors.com. Reach out to us and we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor that can help transform your marriage, family, or personal life, help you feel more connected to God and resolve those difficult emotions, especially related to grief and loss. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Well, folks, thank you so much for tuning in today. We want to remind you to get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because you know what? With God's grace, there is so much more to life. We appreciate you listening today. We hope that you'll have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.